Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
It is now time for a Ashes version, I don't even know what that means, episode of Game Pass or Pass. It's episode 16, and we are going to be talking about Remnant from the Ashes. This is Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we talk about games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey, joined by Basher.
Deal, good sirs. How's everyone doing today? This is a wonderful Sunday afternoon.
We are here to talk about Remnant from the Ashes, not Drop Mix, just so you know. I know the fans are out there pleading that we talk about Drop Mix, but it's not on Game Pass, so.
Yep. Yet.
Yet. That seems like a weird thing that you could, but never mind, not important. Anyways, this is not about Drop Mix. Remnant from the Ashes is developed by Gunfire Games, the makers of Chronos and Darksiders 3, is regularly priced at $49.99. Available on PC, Xbox, and PlayStation 4. It's available only on Game Pass 4 console, not on PC. It is not Xbox Play Anywhere for that reason. There is no crossplay between PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. There is no DLC, and when it comes to Xbox One X owners, I do not know if this game is Xbox One X enhanced because the website says it's in development, but the store says it is out. So I'm going to guess it probably is since the store says it, but I cannot confirm that. If it is, it is only a frame rate thing and not a resolution thing because this game is locked at 30 frames per second. Remnant from the Ashes.
All right. Let me start this off by saying one of my favorite games of all time is Demon's Souls. The PS3 exclusive.
That is correct.
The first time that's the first Souls game released. We played through it. I played through it 1.5 times. I love that game. I thought it was an amazing start to what only could be a positive and beautiful future for the series, for the genre. Fast forward to 2019, and Souls games don't really evolve much at all. They have a Pokemon / Madden / Dynasty Warriors type development cycle, if you ask me, in the sense that they all come out, they're all pretty much the same, and they all have the same issues.
Everyone makes one now.
Right.
Activision made one. It is, quote, game of the year, according to Jeff Keighley and his gang.
It's absolutely out of control. So, that said, I had a love for the genre, for Souls gaming specifically. And since then, I would say, right now, one of my games of the year is actually a Souls-like game called Surge 2. Surge 1 is bad. Surge 2 is a vast improvement, and everyone should play it if you like Souls games. I say all that to say this. Remnant from the Ashes is trash.
Wow. So just to preface that or whatever. Remnant from the Ashes is a Souls game, but its spin on it is that it is more gun combat versus a more melee combat. Because to my knowledge, most
Melee?
What did I say?
Melee or melee?
It's melee, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, well, I'm going with melee. Now, you can melee in this game, but it is much more a third-person shooter versus, like, a third-person action game. Personally, I think Bloodborne is probably the best one of these games.
I would agree with that.
So, I had heard about this game through various podcasts talking about there's a lot of unique things with this game. It's a third-person Souls or third-person shooter Souls, which is step one. But step two is that it does a series of things like when you start the game. So it actually sort of rolls your campaign and it sort of changes what you can see or what you will see and what order it goes in. So like you might go to a certain area that I might go to a certain area that Basher will go to later, et cetera. Which means that the leveling system is a little different because you don't actually like level up like your traditional stats. There's traits that you get and it might be like plus 1% to reload speed or plus 1% to elemental resistance. And as you go through the game, you unlock those. So yeah, that's sort of the spin on this game in terms of how it sort of turns the Souls into its own sort of thing. And it is 100% co-op up to three players because there's three different classes, but classes don't mean a ton. It just sort of dictates what gun you start with, but you can buy the other guns that the other classes start with. And there's no real abilities that you can't get with classes, etc. So I played this game in entirely co-op, and I believe Basher played it entirely solo.
Yes. And you offered to play with me at one point, and I decided no because I wanted to hear, I wanted to be able to give the experience from a solo player.
Correct. So, I don't know if I would call this game trash. I would say this is a
poo-poo caca?
No. It is an extremely flawed game that I enjoyed more than half of my time with, but I definitely...
I disagree with your amount of enjoyment.
I definitely had some frustrations with this game. Yeah, so...
Okay, for me, right off the bat, it's a third-person shooter.
Correct.
This very... The biggest crime in gaming for me is mediocrity. So when I say third-person shooter, don't think something very good. Think something very mediocre. Like, just the bare bones third-person over-the-shoulder shooter. And it does really nothing with it. You have a Gears of War role that you can use the dodge.
I would call it a Dark Souls role. Because the Gears of War role has...
I would say the Gears of War... I'll agree with that because Dark Souls role is way less effective, and this Correct. Is also less effective.
Correct.
So, yeah, I would agree with that.
It's, man, like, I want to speak positive about the game because when I, like, as I sit here and we're talking about it without actually talking about it yet, like, I had some real fun with this game. I think there was a lot of moments
when?
That I enjoyed the premise of it. I enjoyed that.
What?
The
I disagree with all your opinions.
I can't think of the word.
Can I ask you a question? Because
sure.
I didn't. The story never grasped me. So can you?
No, that story's terrible.
And I kept skipping stuff every now and then. Why is it you can die and come back to life?
I have no idea.
That's what I thought.
Has something to do with the big crystal thing, I think.
But what does that have to do with you? That's been my thing with a lot of these Souls-like games. They'll copy the gameplay aspect of you die, come back to life. But really, it's only really been the Souls games where they've described as to why that's happening. Or it's like other games, you're like a regular human being dying, come back to life. It's like, why am I doing this? Why am I back in the world of the living and not freaked out completely?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. The story is, like you said, any Souls game. it's there, and I'm sure there's stuff to it because, you know, there's, if you go on Google and you type in Dark Souls story, there are people that will explain every minute detail of what it means and what it is. Kind of, I'm sure it's there, but like you, it was the gameplay that I was into. And I think it was the sort of trial of difficulty of, there were many times that I died that I was just like, man, that was not my fault kind of thing. Like, this game sucked. But then there was other times I was like, ah, that was on me. Like, I rolled when I shouldn't have, and my timing was off, etc. And that's one reason, like, when Souls works for me, and I think that's why Bloodborne is the best one, because it requires a level of timing that you don't really get in modern games. It's not like a Devil May Cry where just being able to hit the dodge button equals a dodge. Like, you actually have to time it correctly, because if you get hit, even though you dodged, you will get hit kind of thing. And that's a tricky thing to nail. And I think this game at certain points nails it, but then there's other times that it completely fumbles it. And I think that comes down to a playtesting as well as a just sort of time thing, because it's weird how inconsistent it was for me. Like, there were certain bosses that I really liked the design because they were different and unique. And like, for instance, there's basically an ent. You fight an ent tree looking thing. And while I liked the design of it, I hated everything else because it felt unfair compared to some of the other bosses that I had just a better time with, because I felt like it was a real challenge. So when the game was firing on all cylinders for me and the challenge was there that felt fair, I was super into it. But when it was frustrating, it was all sorts of frustrating. So I enjoyed the, there's got to be a term for this, where basically it's like the small, like there's basically three or four small hub worlds that you're in, and then they have different paths and stuff that you go on. Like, so it's not open world, but it kind of is. But there's a lot of exploration that you can find. There's a lot of dungeons that you find. There's a lot of hidden puzzles and stuff. And where the game like super got me was, is I was fighting on some sort of desert looking planet, and there was this like big tomb thing, and like I couldn't figure out how to get in there. And as I'm walking around with my buddy and trying to get into it, all of a sudden one of the floor tiles just like dropped. I was like, oh, like, okay, cool. Like, that's what you got to do. Like, we got to figure out this path. And it took like a good 30 to 45 minutes. And then we finally figured out this path that you have to go on to open there. And when I got in there, there was like a brand new complete set of armor, and it looked awesome, and it looked badass. And like, I was just like, oh, like that was cool. Like, you don't normally stumble on things like that in modern games, because everything wants to hold your hand in a way that is just, I don't want to say not fun, because it's still fun to find the thing, but the general sense of discovery is gone in a lot of modern games.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah,
that's probably where the game shines, is if at any point, because I had the most, I tolerated it the most when I was kind of moving in between these sandbox type areas and picking things off. And when that became difficult, that level of difficulty, when you're kind of underpowered, you're trying to make your way through the sandbox type area. And that's where I found the perfect kind of sweet spot for me in terms of playability. It's when I got to my destination, where I'm like, oh, which is every time is the boss fight, obviously. But once I got there, I'm like, oh, this, I forgot how frustrating and awful this game is.
Yeah, and so it's tough, because where I get super frustrated with the Souls, like the actual Dark Souls formula of the Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3, and probably even Demon Souls, I don't remember it too much, is that there needs to be a level of discovery combined with my ability to discover it, versus where some of those Dark Souls games are just like completely
cryptic nonsense.
Yeah, like cryptic, that it's like you lay in this nest egg, this nest that a giant bird is going to come and pick you up. But it's not that you find the nest and you have to sit there and wait a couple seconds. It's like you have to wait like 2 minutes or something stupid like that. And I'm just like, that's not fun. Like, that's not discovery, because why would anyone do that kind of thing?
It's Castlevania 2, like wait by the wall, right, with the whistle type nonsense.
Right. And so that's where this game, like, I wasn't playing this game to get to the end. I was playing it to find things. And I wanted to see what weapons, because each weapon was extremely unique and different. And they all sort of changed how you played. And I shouldn't say change how you played, but it could change how you tackle certain situations.
The boss weapons are cool.
Yeah.
Like, because just like any Souls games, the boss dies, gives you a special item, take that special item to your engineer or weapons maker or whatever, and then they make a special weapon or a piece of armor with using that. The special weapons are cool. They provide a much need, like the it's like the radiation gun, I want to say. Like, it has like some splash damage, which is very, very useful for like a solo player. So like, you just quickly getting into that, playing this game solo is punishing on a level that is almost as completely unfair. This game is made for co-op. If you go in this game alone, you're going to have a much worse time. This is not the idea. This is not like a Souls game, a proper Souls game of the idea of, well, just get good. No, this is the idea of, well, just grind your butt off and don't walk into this thing again until something is max leveled. Because if your equipment's not 100%, then you're going to just have some of the worst times of your life, because each and every boss fight breaks down to the same nonsense of, you have your big boss here and then you handle it just fine, or maybe you're struggling, but it's you and his boss. The issue comes in where we throw infinite number of ads at you, and that's only enjoyable. It's only possibly enjoyable when you have someone else to take care of the ads and you split the difference. If you don't share the burden, if you have to shoot all the ads and shoot this boss, it created one of easily the most frustrating time I've had with a Souls-like game in a long time.
So yeah, that was, I had done a little bit of research, and I know that the final boss is different depending on how many people you have, but no, I completely agree. So I was wondering if it would change up some of the bosses depending on how many people were playing. So like, the one that comes to mind, did you fight the butterfly thing?
The two butterflies?
Yeah. So that was one person, I can't even imagine. Like,
no, it's not impossible.
Yeah. Like, I had enough trouble with that with two people. Like,
it's a joke. Like,
yeah, I could see that being, that's just unfair.
What you're describing is one slim bridge.
Right.
And on each side, there's a butterfly or monster butterfly or moth type creature that shoots lasers at you and also shoots these very slow moving, hard hitting kind of glowing balls of light. And you have to dodge all of it at the same time while still inflicting damage on it. And you have no place to go. You're on a 20, you know, like a 15 foot bridge. It's a joke of a system. And it's like, each boss fight is that. It's, how can we just stack the odds against you? It's not, and it doesn't, like, a good Souls game to me kind of breaks down. Like when I played The Surge 2, it's like, oh man, this boss really whooped me. What can I do next time? Oh wait, I just noticed I can damage his leg, and now I have a shot at him now because he has less mobility than I do. Or his right arm is doing a bunch of a lot of attacks with me. I could damage that right arm, and now that's off the table. Whereas these bosses is kind of like, oh, you're having a hard time with me? Great. I'm going to throw 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 smaller enemies at you. Yeah. And no matter how many times you kill them, they just respawn. And it's like, how in any way is this fun for one person? Like, this game was completely designed for co-op play and co-op play alone.
Which, yeah, I can't imagine doing that, because we were getting frustrated enough with having two people. And it threw me off. I think I already said it, but yeah, like the inconsistency of some of the bosses, like the moth boss, is just that when it, some of it, basically every boss has like phases, and it, a new thing happens once you deplete part of its life, and you can see it in the life bar and stuff. And sometimes it was unique. Like sometimes the boss would change it up and do something else, while other times it just meant, oh, we're going to start dropping enemies on you. Good luck kind of thing. And I think it's probably like a 50-50 split, as I'm thinking like through all the bosses. I don't want to go over them and give them all away. But like the bosses that were really good, but the ones that were frustrating were pretty frustrating. Like there was no really middle ground for me, in that sense of bosses and stuff. So I don't know, like I struggle because there was good stuff in it, but the part that it should have been a deal breaker for me is that the performance is not great. And in co-op, there's a particularly bad, I don't know what you want. It's not a bug, but it's not designed. So, okay. In co-op, you share all of everything except the money, basically. So if someone goes over and picks up some iron, which is a crafting material, we both get it. But the way that the game is hitting the server or whatever, every single time someone picks something up, there's like a quarter second pause, and it never fails. It's almost like it's pinging the server because I'm not picking it up, so it has to give it to me, and then it has to communicate with the server that I got this thing, even though I didn't pick it up, if that makes sense.
What? That seems yeah. Very annoying.
Oh, annoying. As somebody who gets headaches with like inconsistent frame rates and stuff, yeah, it should have been a deal breaker. As I got farther and farther into the game, it became more of a deal breaker, probably just because I was noticing it more and more. But like, so there's like a lot of little stuff like that where like the design and just the performance of it aren't great, but I still got to the end of it. So like there was clearly something in there that I was enjoying enough that I got to the end. I think we can reveal that both of us got to the last boss and said nope, because
the last boss, this is the worst last boss.
Yeah, it's pretty
bad. I had ever played.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Like, I did everything that I, like, by the end of this game, I was maxed, like, because, again, you're playing solo, the only chance in the heck you have is to max out everything you're wearing and using. So I maxed out everything I possibly could. Even then, it's like, I'm doing very little damage to this boss. Like, what's going on? And then then the boss sends you to this alternate dimension type place, and it just turns to the worst horde mode ever you've played in your life. And then I'm like, okay, so I'm going here, I'm doing this, I'm leaving this area. Like, what's the whole point of this? I have to look it up that you want to be sent to a separate dimension, and then go through horde mode here for God knows how long, because apparently that gives you more damage when you come out of it. The damage that I was doing when I came out of it was still kind of insignificant.
Yeah, it's after dying on it a bunch of times, I sort of looked up the like the strategy for it, and I like the idea of it, but again, like, it just comes down to that the execution just wasn't quite there. The idea of this boss that sort of sends you to another dimension and then like that powers you up and yada yada yada, it's a cool idea. Like, it's a unique way, but in co-op it only sends one person at a time, so the other person is literally just running around. Like,
you have to be wasting ammo because you're not doing enough.
Well, you don't.
How much damage were you doing?
Like, nothing.
So, okay, great. I wasn't going crazy. All right.
No. So yeah, the whole idea is that you go into this other dimension, and the more things that you kill, the stronger your weapons become. So then when you pop out of the dimension, you can now do the damage that you want. And so basically you damage the boss, and eventually you sort of break its shield, and that's when you can do like the crazy damage. But the thing is that if you don't kill enough things in the dimension, your weapon's not strong enough, so therefore you don't break the shield, which means that you're doing even less. Like, it's a cool idea, but the execution is just not there. And the fact that when it comes down to co-op, if you're playing with three people, only one person goes. So the other two people are just running around since they can't do enough damage. And it's just like, okay. And who it selects in terms of who it sends to the dimension is completely randomized. So there were times I was playing with my buddy, like he went literally like six times in a row and I'm just running around like nothing for me to do. That's the kind of stuff that leads me to believe that this game, I don't want to say wasn't done, but it just wasn't play tested enough and it wasn't fixed enough. But and Gunfire Games is not a big studio. Like, this feels like to me a product of a great idea that just didn't have enough, I don't want to say money, but maybe it was money, but enough time, whatever you want to call it, behind it to make it good. Because I think at the core there's something really cool here for this style of game and this
I agree with that. I will say one thing I really liked was the enemy design on a lot of the creatures. Like a lot of these enemies, like they look fun, they behave fun. So the only times of enjoyment I really got was moving from. It was never the A or the Z. It was everything in between that. I'm like, oh, okay, new area, cool, new things to shoot, new enemies, cool, new things to discover, cool. But then, as a solo player, you hit that wall of, you hit that next wall, that next fog wall for the boss, and it's like, oh yeah, this game's terrible again. I remember now.
Just the inconsistency is what drove me nuts. But I got to the end, like I didn't finish it. So there's that, but I don't know. So I feel like if there was a sequel, it would be fantastic if they could actually give it the time that it needed. I don't know if it ever will. Probably not, because I'm guessing.
I don't know. I mean, like, so far there's only been one Souls game that I played, the original, and then the sequel, and the sequel was leagues better, that being a Surge 2. So far, what I've learned about Souls games is they make one, they make a sequel. It's pretty much the same game. A few bells and whistles, and the same headaches are there. So unless they, like, if a sequel is made for this game, they have to do some sort of actual play for people who play offline or solo, because it's like, this game is not I almost want to call it broken if you're not by yourself. Like, if you still haven't installed, I almost suggest you like just play through some of this by yourself, just to see how ridiculous it is to be like, oh, I have to shoot all these things and have the slowest. Because again, up until more than halfway through the game, you're reload speed and your overall character speed, reload speed, the thing, your damage is not that great. So it's like, imagine like being in a boss fight, having to shoot six or seven ads on screen plus a boss, but your shotgun only holds six, seven, eight rounds.
Right.
It's like, and now you have to sit there and reload forever. And there's an item that helps you reload faster, but even popping the item takes time. So when do you pop the item? And it's like, by yourself, they didn't give any thought or care at all to people that play by themselves in this. This is a three or four man game at all times. It's the only way to enjoy it.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is if you're playing by yourself, maybe throw it on easy or something. Maybe that will help quite a bit. But that shouldn't be the solution kind of thing.
So I tried that.
Oh, okay.
When you play this game on easy, the issue then becomes you're playing the most mediocre third-person shooter you've played in a long time.
There's no challenge. You're just popping everything.
It is not like a Destiny type thing where you kind of get lost in the and the minutiae of the gunfight, because that gameplay is Bungie just makes good third person shooter gameplay. No, this is very standard, like over the shoulder, pew, 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 reload. There's like, there's nothing happening. Like, so, like, I don't even suggest playing this game on easy because you don't get the game.
Yeah, I mainly played on hard because we found normal to be just a tad too easy. But it's hard to say because as you play through the game, obviously you get stronger and stuff like that. So when we first started playing, it was just, it wasn't easy, but it definitely wasn't challenging us. So then we sort of re-rolled and went on to hard. So, but no, I don't know. Like there's, I actually reviewed Darksiders 3. That was like one of the last games I reviewed before we'd sort of stopped reviewing games, I guess. And I feel like Gunfire Games is a studio that is right there. Like if they had the proper team and the proper budget and the proper time, that they could make something really, really special, but they clearly are lacking something. Like the whole, anytime someone picks up a button, anytime someone presses the button to pick up something, it delays the other person a quarter of a second is, why? Like, why should that happen? And B, why is that still a thing? Like, that's clearly something that everybody is complaining about and they haven't fixed it. And apparently this game also released with like straight up memory crashes. Like if you played the game too long, it would just crash to the dashboard on PS4 and Xbox.
Oh, that makes sense.
And like, that's the kind of stuff where I'm just like, man, like, it's clear that they just didn't have enough time or enough money or whatever. And if this game would have got another 6 months and all these things were ironed out, like difficulty, and it basically just needed play testing to sort of to balance things, that I would genuinely say this would have been one of my favorite games like of this generation, because there was so many highs in it that I was like, man, like this is really, really cool and fun. Like this is a take on the genre that I didn't know I wanted, sort of thing. And that's why I'm hoping maybe there'll be a sequel, because maybe with the sequel they'll be able to just basically take the engine and whatever and not have to start over, and they can sort of work on the groundwork and the framework and just improve it, because there's something cool here, but this just isn't it.
I completely agree with that. They need to look at a lot. They basically nestle down to this franchise and create something that improves on essentially every aspect of the game, because the exploration is there, but the gunplay needs some 2019 advancements. The reroll is a good idea in theory, but it really doesn't change your it doesn't change the experience. It changed the order of the experience. I'd much prefer them work on lore, plot, character, story, so that I can actually get invested in it this time. Because above all else, if you would have had a compelling story there for me, I could at least have that be the carrot at the end of the stick for me. But that wasn't the case either, because. From the very beginning of the game to the end, I'm questioning, why am I still alive? Considering the first 5 minutes of this game, when you die, you actually get knocked out and saved by somebody. So I'm like, oh, that's going to happen every time? That's how this works? Like, I don't actually die. I get knocked out. Someone drags me from the battlefield. It's like, no, now you're part of the crystal of life. And every time I died, it pushes you out the crystal. And I'm like, why am I even here right now? I hate everything about this.
Yeah. Well, what's strange is like that's kind of my issue that I had with Souls in general, is that it just always, that polish just isn't there for me. And I'm always perplexed to how people can look past it. But clearly I did, since I got near the end of the game. So there was something in this game that eventually, like, even though I saw the problems with it, I still wanted to keep playing it. So I guess I'm part of that crowd now. I don't know. But it doesn't change the fact that the polish isn't there, and I can't ignore that, and I can't look past that because it's constantly in my face about it. So, but yeah, I think it's safe to say we talked you through that. So now it comes time, Game Pass or pass. I think it's fair to say we're probably, are we going to agree?
We better, because I'm not buckling for my position this time. No way. Passing on this one. There's no point in playing. Well,
what if you play co-op?
Again, that's the problem. That's just popped in my head, because if you choose to go in this with other people, you may actually finish it.
It's tough. Like,
there are no concessions. It's either pass or
yeah.
It's either pass or pass. There's no in between. In which case, I would say pass on by this. Do not suffer your friends to this nonsense. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it at the end of the finding things and exploring things is cool enough, but it's not enough to warrant your 30, 40 hours to the end, where you're probably going to give up at the end of, at that boss, because you just don't care enough about the story to deal with the headache that that final boss is.
Man, this is tough. I don't want to say I agree, but I think deep down I have to agree. Like, I don't know. It's weird, because this was over Thanksgiving break, so I just had a lot of time. Maybe that it was just right place, right time, maybe. I dropped like a good 8 hours in this game straight. And I don't do that very often anymore, you know, like that. So there was something in it that was compelling me to keep playing. And I think it was just sort of the exploration was very, very cool. And, but I just guess I can't. I guess I'm going to agree and say pass on it. Something feels wrong about that, though.
You would have probably been able to sway me a little better if at least at the end you beat it and said, oh, the story's worth it. Like the journey was worth it. And it's like, if you bust your butt just to get to this, to the last guy, and still you're like, okay, we're done here.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's why I'm just like, okay, this is not worth putting the time into.
No, you're not wrong. Like that's a huge problem for sure. Like the last boss isn't good, but there was something about it that kept me coming back to it. But I definitely think that's going to be an individual basis. You know, like there might be some people that are like, oh, like, yeah, like this really spoke to me and kind of thing. And I think as a general. Yeah. All right. We're going to say pass on it. We're going to say pass on it. That hurts a little bit. Hurts a little bit, but Remnant from the Ashes, pass on it.
Please, 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 please.
That one hurt a little bit. That one hurt a little bit. All right, so we are getting close to the end of the year, which means
we exchanged Christmas gifts.
I bought you Game Pass.
Did you?
Sure. No, I didn't.
I kind of don't remember.
So. We actually really haven't talked about this, but now I'm looking at it. So there really is only 1 week left of this year, besides Christmas. And I don't think we're probably gonna do an episode Christmas, because Christmas is on a Wednesday this year. We normally post on Tuesdays. So, but I guess that means that we only got one episode left, which means we should probably do our wrap up, right?
I think that's the. Yeah, like a little check in there, see where we're at.
I thought it'd be kind of fun. Like, so we've played what, 15, 16 games this year for Game Pass. Like, it's not going to be exactly fair, because we're not going to play every game. I was like, we should do maybe like our favorite game of Game Pass that we played on the year, and sort of like a look to the future of Game Pass and what we think about Game Pass now. As it's, we're both subscribers, we're both paying full price for it. You know, a check-in, like you said.
I agree. Let's do that. That's like a fantastic idea.
So we'll do that. And then, so what will our first game for next year be, though? So we've got Devil May Cry 5 on the docket. We still have Sea of Thieves. we have not gone back to. We said we were going to do that at some point. Now might be the time.
They just dropped some new content, I believe.
They did, yes. So I'm thinking it might be time that we dive into that.
Yeah, while we have some downtime here, right. I agree.
Yeah, so there's that. But there's also the... what's the word I'm looking for? The amazing drop, unexpected, much welcomed. Untitled Goose Game is coming to Game Pass next week.
Why do I care? Why do we care about this game?
You play as a goose.
What is happening? Like, why is this a thing now?
So I'm gonna say our first game for 2020, or maybe our last game for 2019, depending on what happens, is gonna be Untitled Goose Game.
I'm not looking forward to it.
Hey, you play as a goose, okay?
Which is why I'm not looking forward to it. I'm glad we're on the same page.
You gotta embrace things that happen. You got to embrace that you play as a goose, and you got to be happy about it.
I'm not. This might be one of the ones where, because I've been delightfully surprised and on both ends so far on these games. So it's like maybe I'll go and hitting it and then come out loving it. We'll see.
We'll find out. But so that is gonna do it for all the games for 2019 on Game Pass or Pass possibly. Either way, we will be back before the end of the year with a wrap-up and our favorite game that we played in Game Pass 2019. So that is going to do it for this episode, and we will see you next time.
Good days.